You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Dracula von Dracula. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Doing just fine.
Doing just fine?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Sorry I missed you. We had a party Friday night, and I'm sorry I missed you.
Yeah. Fucking Woody's 40th birthday party. His wife threw a surprise birthday party for him. It was awesome. So great job by Woody's wife. And it was a good time. Shark was there. No Davies.
Yeah, I feel bad. We were scheduled to the hilt this weekend, and I, you know, just couldn't be there. But I was there in spirit.
Sure were.
Shark was texting me. He's like, hey, the hard drugs are coming out in an hour. You should get here.
Yep. Let's go.
Almost got in the car.
Let's go. I had back-to-back. This is risky for somebody who's also near 40. Back-to-back nights of open bar. Whoa. I was at a wedding Friday night, and then I was at Woody's thing on Saturday, and Boy. Of course, I'm still drinking now, so it obviously wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw a beer in your hand, unless that's an Arnold Palmer.
No, it is not. It's a focal banger because the wedding was up in Vermont. So when in Vermont, you got to get Heady Topper and Focal Banger. They don't really sell them often around here anyway. But that's where I'm at. We got a week left till Dorktober's up. And guess where I'm going this coming weekend?
Where are you going this weekend?
Vegas, baby.
Come on.
I've never been to Vegas.
You've never been to Vegas?
Nope.
Did I tell you my Vegas pool story? Or is that a story for another time?
I think now is probably the time.
So take us back 3-4 years, if you will.
All right.
My children are young.
Okay.
In a teacher appreciation raffle, I have never won a raffle in my life to this point. I won 3 days in Las Vegas from a trustee of the school where I was working.
Holy smokes.
And
what
I mean, it was like,
yeah, sorry.
You know, like the thing, like the hockey players do, like scooping ice. Like I went down the aisle of the auditorium scooping ice and like doing like the pump and everything. I was so fired.
Yeah, you should be.
So we go to Vegas. It's me and my wife. We go to Vegas. It's the week we go. It is, I'm not kidding, Mexican Independence Day.
Okay.
A NASCAR race and Mr. Olympia, like the bodybuilding.
The big three right there.
This town is just full of this. It was like whatever you think about Vegas, it was on full display that weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
The people watching was incredible.
Yep.
So the place we're at Caesars, right? So we win a stay at Caesars because I guess one of the trustees at the school is on the board at Caesars. So we get like a suite at Caesars.
Wow.
Awesome, right? Wow. But with all these people down there, like there's a ton of people, and you go down to the pool at Caesars and it's just a goddamn zoo.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So we're looking around. And someone says to us, I forget where, oh, there's a 21 plus pool over here, but no phones.
Okay. I was like,
okay.
I'm into that.
Like, I'm not thinking anything of this, right?
Yeah.
So they take us like behind this curtain and they open this curtain. They take our phones and open this, and it is Xanadu. It's a topless pool.
Yes.
In Vegas with like all of these like bodybuilders.
Oh yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh my God, like what have I stumbled upon here? It was, I wound up chatting up these two guys who were there for another conference. I was, believe it or not, I was in the pool at Caesars hiding in their shade. Cause they had like a cabana.
Yeah. Yeah. Find some shade.
So I was like, I don't mind if you steal my shade. And like, no, we get it. So we start talking to them. They started buying me like those yard drinks of like Long Island iced teas.
Yes.
At one point I am surrounded by these like topless bodybuilders and my wife. I'm holding two Long Island iced tea yards in my hand, exclaiming to everyone that this is the greatest day of my life. Yep.
Probably was.
I think my wife was like, "You," I was like, "You are married with kids," and I looked at her and I went, "I know, I
know." But I'm with these two gentlemen. I'm with
look
these.
At this. Look at these guys. You're next to me. We're having a blast, right? So that was my biggest pool story. So if you find that, I would highly recommend it.
I will sniff it out. That's what I will do. I'll be looking for it. Yeah. All right. Well, we have a actually a hell of a topic du jour to get to. So before we do that. All right, quick look at the television programs that are out right now. Where are you at on Gen V? Have you started?
We're going to talk about this in a little bit, Richard. Do you understand they don't call New York the city that never sleeps for a reason? I got work to do here, pal.
Got it. Got it. You're a busy
people
man.
People of New York need me.
Yep. No, that's true. I get it. I get it.
So this week was a tough week for me for TV. I haven't watched a damn thing, like I said, because, well, it's been 3 days. But I could have watched TV this week, but I had to mentally prepare.
I get it. Gen V, I'm liking very much. Only a couple episodes left. That'll be a standalone for sure. Loki, I think 3 episodes might be out. I think I've seen 2 of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind the second one. Like, it's fine. Like, to this point, I'm definitely going to watch it. It's not one of those, like, it's like a chore to watch, but it's just not the top of my list. But we got a pretty impassioned email, actually, suggesting that Loki stick with it and people like Loki. Okay. So we'll see. The Fall of the House of Usher. Did you give any of that a go after our last discussion?
So I kept trying to talk to my spouse while she was watching it, and she kept kicking me out of the room. She's like, you got to watch that. You have to watch this, but you can't get out. Like, you can't see this part.
Yeah.
So
I respect that.
I will watch it.
This could maybe be the episode to wrap up Dorktober.
Okay.
If I can get through it and you like it, we can do this next week. If not, I promise I'll at least do like a brief little breakdown of it. Cause again, I didn't like it as much as Hill House, but I liked it more than Midnight Mass, and I liked it more than Bly Manor. Therefore, I think it's probably worth a go. And then Oppenheimer, which I have not seen yet. It's one of the 2023 movies that has eluded me thus far, but it's finally going to come available on digital and hard copy November 21st. So we're about a month away to dive into Oppenheimer, all 3 hours of Oppenheimer, including what has been described as a very long love scene.
And don't expect to go to Best Buy and pick this up. So I went to Best Buy after our last episode.
Yeah, how'd that go?
No DVD. Ghost Town.
Now they're done with it. They pulled the plug. They weren't fucking around.
I know,
but
I didn't know it was going to happen that fast. I didn't know they're going to do it like immediately.
Yeah, because you're like, hey, can I get like some of these dollar DVDs? They're like, no, dude, they're all gone.
They're gone.
What do you get at Best Buy now? Like a washer dryer?
I was telling you before we got on the air, I got a new computer part, and Jesus Christ, like having to explain. And I know I talk about this all the time, like the Ron Swanson, like I know more than you. Like I had to tell like the employees at Best Buy, like according to your website, you have 3 of these. Go check in the back. And I had to like basically write it down for them and be like, this is what I'm looking for.
Can I go?
And they're like,
the
is
back?
That it? I go, no, that's not it. What I'm telling, listen to what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
And they're like, oh, yeah, man, I found it. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
I got denied employment at Best Buy years ago.
That along with me getting denied employment at Newbury Comics might be the tough two greatest employment tragedies of all time.
It was a shame. I mean, maybe they sniffed it out. They knew I was just doing it for the discount. But at the same time, I would have been a good worker. I would have been able to tell
people.
You're
an able-bodied young man.
I could tell people where the TVs are. I could tell you where the computers are, where the DVDs are. I could recommend a few DVDs or the video games, all that stuff. But no, they're like, no. I'm like, fuck.
Like, fuck you, man.
All right. Well, right. I do say this in all sincerity. One of the most anticipated video game minutes of the year comes your way right now.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you have?
I got a lot to talk about here.
I know.
So first of all, people are going to ask me like how far I am into the game. I am 33% into the game right now, into completing the game. And like any good Thanksgiving dinner, I'm all sides, no entree.
Ooh, you're talking about Spider-Man 2. I think most people know what you're talking about, but for those that don't, Spider-Man 2.
I should have led with the fact that I'm talking about Spider-Man 2. I alluded to the fact that the people of New York need me.
Yep, I got it, but maybe not everybody did.
Right.
Yep.
Like, all right, so we'll break this down, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is a little ugly.
Ooh, interesting.
I will explain it to you. But the good things, the story so far, great. It's, dare I say, amazing.
Yeah, spectacular.
So essentially, you play as both Peter Parker and Miles Morales at the same time. So they have joined forces. I'm not going to give too much away, but you know, there's people involved. People come back into their lives. Like, everyone's involved. It's great, right?
Okay, I like it.
The gameplay, razor sharp. Like, we are like Arkham level sharp with this right now. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm pleasantly surprised about, they kind of revamped the combat system.
Okay.
So you can use abilities and gadgets easier. Mm. So it makes it really easy. So, like, you know, when, did you play the Guardians game?
Actually, no, I did not.
You first of all, you must.
Okay.
But the way, like, you hit like the bumpers and then you hit like a L1 or R1 and like a button and it'll deploy something.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So once you figure out combos with those, it's actually pretty awesome.
Okay.
Like, so it's not just, you can just kick and punch your way through it, but if you use the gadgets and the abilities, it's actually pretty fun.
Okay.
Graphics spot on.
Yeah.
The side missions are actually really cool. So there's, you deal with Mysterio in some, mm-hmm. you talk, Uncle Aaron is back.
Oh shit.
I'm not giving anything away.
Prowler.
So, but you, Sandman, who you meet immediately in the game, has some great side missions.
Okay.
So the whole point is that these, I'm sure you know this from the trailer, that the villains are being let loose and they're being hunted, mm-hmm. and you have to, one, catch them or stop the hunt. So it's a little bit of like a,
yeah.
It is true. There are zero load times.
Woof.
And the suits, man, they have brought back some classic ones, but the one I posted it on Twitter, there's a one, it's the Forever suit. Mm. It's Miles' suit, and it looks like a Black Panther suit mixed with a Spider-Man suit. It's incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And there's also a little thing in the game. You go to the Wakanda embassy and you press triangle and you can pay your respects, hit the Wakanda salute.
I like that.
Chad Boseman. So I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
In terms of the bad, there's not much to speak of yet.
Okay.
The only thing I would say that's bad in this game is, like, I have no, with the, at the, there's like wind tunnels now, and like, so you can like fly like through things.
Yeah.
And you go super fast. If you hit like this wind tunnel and go out towards the end, it'll like lift you up so you can go like across the river.
Okay.
Which is sweet. But if you do that, this is a bit of a hot take, and I'm just going to say this right now. If you used fast travel in this game, you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah, why?
Why would you put fast travel in this game?
You don't need it. You just zip around.
Oh my God. It's so, like, if I have to go all the way across the map, you know, you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
In some games, or like Grand Theft Auto, you're like, God damn it. I have to go all the way across the map.
Yeah.
Here you're like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to take me 2 minutes, but it's going to be fucking fun.
Yeah. No, I downloaded it last night.
Ring with the flips going off.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't played yet. I downloaded it. And unfortunately, didn't have time today. So as soon as we're done with this, I'm gonna.
You should jump in. You should do like the very first like prelude mission.
Okay.
With Sandman.
Yeah, I will.
You'll see what we're all about here.
All right, yeah, I can't wait.
It's fun.
I'm pumped.
The only ugly thing they do. So this is the one thing that like pissed me off.
Okay.
They do like a handful of these like missions where you ride a bike. Like Peter Parker, like riding a bike.
Yeah, he did. He rode the bike in the movie quite a bit. Like Tobey Maguire. Well,
that was like
one.
A moped, but this is like an actual like pedal bike, and so you don't go very fast. And like the three times I've ridden a bike, like I've gotten stuck.
I don't want to ride a bike.
Like I've had to like reset the game because I got stuck like in between like a bench and a wall, and like I couldn't get out.
I don't want to do that. Spider-Man. It's terrible. Bike.
Like,
I'm
like,
a bike, man.
That's the only thing that I would say like is kind of bullshit. Like, enough with the fucking bike. You're Peter Parker. Why would you ride a bike? I could run faster than the bike.
I know. What would you say is the best bike game of all time? Paperboy?
No, there's a game that got slept on. So there's a game called Riders Republic that came out for PlayStation 5 recently.
Okay.
It was, Ubisoft made it.
Oh.
And it's like a downhill mountain bike game. Dude, that game is so fucking
fun. Oh, there was also that one on the PS4 that was fun. Remember the bike game? Because I remember what was sick about this bike game, and you wouldn't even know.
Oh, like
this.
The Trials games? Like Trials games? Yeah, those
and
games.
And what was sick about Trials is you had played the game like years before I did. But because we were friends, I could see all your scores and try to compete against you. And I could see like you're like little invisible guy and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, this is like a multiplayer game. And he doesn't even know I'm playing with him. He doesn't even have any idea. So,
and you could like see my ghost, right? Like,
yeah. So you'd like compete with it. And you're like, that's the exact path that he went on this.
So it's like that story. If something ever happens to me.
Yeah.
Right. And you get to the finish line and you're going to beat me and you're going to like, my ghost is going to go away. Just pull up.
Yeah. Right.
Let me live on.
Yeah.
Because in trial bikes.
Of course, there's Excite Bike, which is a good bike game.
Road Rash.
Road Rash 2 is an all-timer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think motorcycle people call them bikes. Like, hey, I'm getting on the bike today. And you're like, oh, bicycle? Like, no. The Hog.
My bicycle.
I drive a bicycle. Oh, that's
someone
cool.
I was reading some memes. Like, someone who, like a jet ski, that you didn't call that a motorcycle is like a crime against humanity.
Motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
It is.
All right. What else? Are you playing anything else, or were you playing anything else? Because now your time's obviously.
God, no.
Yeah. Why would you?
I mean, I was replaying Cyberpunk for like I was just killing time. I played through all of the Phantom Liberty. It's like a noir spy thing with Idris Elba. It was pretty sweet.
Oh, that is cool.
It was pretty awesome. So I finished that, and then right in time for Spider-Man, I played something for like 2 days, Callisto Protocol, which is new. I mean, it's free this month. So I played that. That was actually pretty cool. What's his name? Josh Duhamel.
Oh.
Isn't it?
Josh Duhamel. Nice.
Yeah. And what's the Karen? She played the female in The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
She's in it, too.
Oh, cool.
It's like a 10-hour game. It's like a quick thing. It's free.
Not
bad. I'm gonna pick it up. You like free.
I like free stuff. We're less than a month away from the Bluey game coming out as well.
Oh, this house is going to go berserk. There was like, you can play Keepy Uppy in the game.
Let's sit around and play Keepy Uppy for a little bit. I don't mind that.
That could be the gateway drug for Cece.
I think it will be, because she likes Mario Kart, but I think she's even like, what else is there? Like, what else can I play? And everything else right now is like just a little too tough.
Yep.
You know, besides, I bet open world Bluey. Fuck. Sign her up.
You just run around the house. You don't even have to do anything.
No, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So, let us know what you guys think of Spider-Man 2 as well. No spoilers. I haven't even started, but just overall your impressions of the game at Dork Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also, I should have mentioned this, send us your Should I Have Bought This $25 minimum to dorkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll try to get to one of those next week. But right now, Ryan.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Topic du jour.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today...
Last week, I saw a film. As I recall, it was a horror film.
Top 13 Dracula movies. And let me be honest with you for a second. So it's also top 13 vampire movies. That's to the general public. But to the people in the know, it's Dracula movies. I spent way more time than I'm willing to admit searching for the Andy Dick Show quote from the... I don't even know what episode's the problem, but so the old Andy Dick Show is where I got this joke from, and he's like screaming about something, and I know what the exact line is, but I couldn't find the video of it. He goes, I heard a goddamn Dracula under the bed. It's the height of comedy. First of all, that show was great. And I went back and I was watching a whole bunch of the stuff, and it still was pretty funny to me. Like the SOS Manos thing. Fucking piss your pants funny.
SOS Manos. That was like the Ghost Hunters one, right?
Ghost Hunters one. And he's got the thing on his face and he's running around and he's like, look at this. Look at this. He's like, this is obviously some kind of cross. It's like a T. This is like a cross. And it says, oh, SOS Manos. Which is just
and
like.
It says, love our Sus Manos. Like, wash your hands
in Spanish.
Yeah.
SOS Manos.
There was another one he did. He did like a reality show that he called Clipped.
Yes.
Where do you think to be his personal assistant? You've been clipped.
So good. He does the Daphne Aguilera character, which is like a Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera combo. He does Tom Green. He does Marilyn Manson. He has like
Remember the Marilyn Manson things too. That was super funny.
He's got Ben Stiller in there. He's got Odenkirk in there. It ran for like 20 something episodes. But I was going through, and I couldn't find the fucking... There's a goddamn Dracula. I heard a goddamn Dracula under the bed.
Anytime you refer to a vampire as a Dracula, I know we talked about this
so
before.
So funny.
It's always funny. So, like, I remember the SNL, the Kings of Catchphrase comedy, Slappy Pappy.
Mm-hmm.
If a Dracula is chasing you, Turn around and trip the bitch. Like, happy, happy, wait, wait.
So normally, like, if I had to describe my sense of humor to somebody, I guess I would just say, like, any Tim Robinson sketch. But if you need, like, a specific line, it probably is referring to any vampire as a Dracula. It is so funny to me. And then, but, like, there's, like, a goddamn Dracula under the bed. And then he heard it. You didn't even see him. He heard a... like, he knew it. He knew
that. Goddamn Dracula.
He knew that that's what was under there. So, oh my God, I fucking laughed so hard at that. So anyway, it is top 13.
We watched a lot of goddamn Dracula movies.
Yeah, we did.
Haven't we?
We've seen a bunch.
This is weird. Yeah, I had to, like, my original draft of this was like 20.
There's a lot of good ones. Yeah. And I think, so we each did a list of top 13, then we blend them together, and that's how you get hashtag dorks top 13 Dracula movies of all time. And honestly, I think we had 11 overlaps, and I had,
like,
made my
in the same spot.
No. Our top 11 13. Of your 13 or 11 of my 13.
I think this is one of those things where, like, if you like a certain type of Dracula movie.
Yeah. And we do
like this. And we do. And yeah. I think I'm looking at this list right now. I think we nailed it.
I love this list. This list.
I love this list. Yeah. I'm glad you said it because I love this list.
This list, like, is number insane.
Whatever, I'm going to read number 13 to you. You'll be like, oh my God, that's only 13? I'm like, yes, and it gets better.
Yes, it does. Go ahead.
Yes.
Lead us off.
So lead us off with what I consider to be Joel Schumacher's greatest movie of all time.
That being
1987's The Lost Boys.
Oof.
This movie have comedy.
Yes.
Gore.
Yes.
Corey's.
Both Corey's.
Buff. Sax Men.
Yep.
Like, this movie fucking rules.
Yeah.
Jason Patrick, brooding Jason Patrick.
Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer
motherfucking Sutherland.
Yeah.
This movie is awesome. And I remember thinking that, like, this came out in 1987. I probably saw it years after that because I was a little scared to watch it ahead of time. But
same.
The Dracula makeup.
Scary.
I'm just keep saying, I'm not going to say the word vampire.
No, they're from here on out.
Yeah. It's great. Kiefer Sutherland's awesome bad guy.
He is.
So this movie is just so much fun. And again, it has that Schumacher campiness where it's actually funny at times.
Yeah.
And now, so 80s.
This one, I was going to say, it's 80s and it's vampires. What more do you want? And it's got, like, all those stars of the time.
Teen vampires.
It is. Hell yeah, it is. Well, I would say out of all of the, like, iconic horror villains, Dracula is the most synonymous with sex A, way more so than Frankenstein's monster, way more so than the mummy.
Was the sketch Frankenstein's girlfriend or something like that?
I just left with Frankenstein's bitch. Or was it bitch? No, it was. I just left with Frankenstein's. Yeah, it might have been. I forget. But yeah, that was a good one.
Like David, Kiefer Sutherland is David, the Frog Brothers. You talk about the Frog Brothers. By the way, if you've never seen any of the Lost Boys spinoff movies, they are so bad and so great.
Yeah, they had a couple sequels, right?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frankenstein's chick. Yeah, I don't know why it's Frankenstein's bitch. Thank you. Yeah, that would have been a little much.
Yeah.
I just slept with Frankenstein's chick. Great.
Sped up.
That sketch, it does not get enough love, really. It's so good. Where he, like, takes the guy's phone and then he's like, you're following me now on Instagram. And he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. And he's like, people hate this, man. All right. Coming in at number 12 on our list is Interview with the Dracula. This one starring Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Antonio de Banderas. Kirsten Dunst, who we've mentioned on the podcast before, for my money, the greatest kid acting performance of all time. And by kid, I mean, like, anybody that's pre-teenager.
Yep.
I would say in the
Mount Rushmore of kid, Henry Thomas and E.T., and then give me...
Culkin. Macaulay Culkin.
No, I was going to say Dakota Fanning in I Am Sam.
Good one.
Would probably be. Yep.
Yep.
That's it.
And this one... Kind of a sad fact in this one. So Christian Slater, who actually does the interviewing with the Dracula, that was supposed to be a River Phoenix role. Yeah. And then he passed, and then it was given to Christian Slater. Really good. Like, this is the Anne Rice novel. They actually made a TV show about it as well. I haven't seen it. It's on AMC, but it's
supposed to be good. I heard it was good.
It got picked up for a second season, so it must be all right. But
and it's got Grey Worms in it, right?
Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, I feel like, is a good, like, the South at that time is like a pretty good setting for a vampire.
Like foggy, swampy,
yeah, you
know, dirty, hot, sexy.
Oh, so sexy. And Tom Cruise is a bad dude in this.
Lestat.
Lestat. Yeah. He's scary. He's actually, this is like as scary as you're going to get, Tom Cruise.
Well, Draculas to me are cool characters in that, like, they aren't, like they don't give a shit about anything.
No, and they've just been around. They've been around the block.
Just a bunch of Crashmores, you know?
Good shit.
Yeah.
You said that?
So what's better than having like a Nolans? By the way, have you been to New Orleans?
I've been once, yes.
Does it smell?
Surprise.
It smells like pee-pee.
It could. Like, I was just so thrilled to be there. And so this was quick story on that. I got to do a handful of Celtics games back, God, this was like 8 years ago. And so, or 8 or 9 years ago, actually it was right when I turned 30. And so the first trip we had was to New Orleans. So you spend one night in New Orleans, but you stay at like the Four Seasons or someplace where I should never even be allowed near. But so I went to Bourbon Street. I did like, got a hurricane, got a hand grenade, got some gumbo and something else. And there's like a lot of like voodoo places around there.
See, I'd be into that.
It's pretty cool. Like, I would love to go back and stay longer. It was pretty cool.
Voodoo's pretty awesome. Now I tell you this. So what's a cooler setting than that, Richard?
What's that?
Vampires don't like sunlight, right? What if?
Like us.
What if you had a graphic novel turned into a movie in which vampires visit a town where the sun never comes out?
Smart.
I give you at number 11, 30 Days of Night. From 2007. Josh Hartnett fucking rules in this movie. And what a cool setting. What a great idea for vampires who make like a pilgrimage to this town and just feed. And like people are like trapped in their houses and they can't come out. And like these vampires are just walking the streets because they can't go in the houses.
No.
Right. And the best part of this movie is the first 20 minutes. The movie's good, but the first 20 minutes with Ben Foster just going full fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And the end of this movie is cool too. I love the vampires have that like that language.
Yep.
That they speak.
Scary.
And I forget the name of
Marlowe, played by Danny Houston or whatever, like Huston, whatever his name is. He's scary. Huston, he alone is scary.
And there was this cool scene with him where he like puts his fingernail on like a record. It's like that scary, nail.
Their hands are gross. The record
actually plays. Mm-hmm. Oh, that movie fucking rules. And just like, what a cool concept. And by the way, the graphic novel.
Awesome.
Is awesome. The movie is almost as good.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah, I agree. And Melissa George plays Josh Hartnett's wife in this. She's awesome. Like they're a really good duo. But well, it's just a goddamn bloodbath. Really, what that ends up being. I like it. All right, coming in at number 10 on our list is 1979's Salem's Lot. Now, this actually means a little bit more to you because you said this is one of the. Is it Salem's Lot or Pet Sematary that scared you the most as a kid? It was Pet Sematary, right?
So it was Pet Sematary, but like this was a close second.
Yeah.
It was these two Stephen King things. And this, what scared the piss out of me, almost literally, like I remember like running to like go pee, was the scene where the younger brothers in, the brother dies and the younger brother is in the room and he sees his brother like floating in the window.
Yeah.
Like I had an older brother. Like I would have done the same thing, you know what I mean? So it was like, I still have an older brother, but it's like, that's in the Dracula makeup on the kid. Like that was the first time in a horror movie, I think for me, where I saw a kid die.
Oh, good point. I think that might be, yeah, One of the first I definitely saw in, I don't even know how many there
usually,
are.
Usually they make it.
Yes.
Like usually in horror movies that I've seen the kids make it. This is the first time I remember seeing like
point.
Kids die. Like kids are fair game in this movie.
Yeah.
And that scared the shit out of me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie. This is a movie that I might have to revisit.
Yeah, me too. I haven't watched this one in a few years. And it was directed by Tobe Hooper, which is pretty sweet.
Yes.
From Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So yeah, the guy from Texas Chainsaw with a Stephen King story, which came out only a few years, or was written only a few years before this movie came out. And yeah, definitely even has like the haunted house vibe to it on top of, you know.
I think I remember reading too, this is one of like the only, there's a handful, but this is the one of the only like Stephen King movies that he actually likes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I know he doesn't love The Shining.
I think he likes it. He likes them more now, but there was like a run where he like hated them all. Like,
yeah.
But I think he actually likes this one.
Like Alan Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he, I mean, famously didn't like The Shining, which is crazy because it's like, that's probably the best one. But I get his like point.
Nothing like the book.
Well, he also said his main issue, I think, was like Jack Nicholson's Jack Torrance. He was like, at the beginning of the book, you never in a million years think he's going to go crazy.
Right.
Whereas, like, as soon as you see him on screen in The Shining, you're like, that guy's going to go fucking crazy.
That's a bad guy.
Like, that guy's already...
Well, that whole, like, story there, like, of him, like, beating the kid, like,
yeah,
you know, hurting Danny and,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff. In the,
so they already made him out to be kind of fucking just, like, a
dickhead.
Yeah, you didn't need to shove him. You just needed to give him, like, a little tap, and he was going to go right. crazy. So, all right, coming in at number... Oh, no, you got number 9. Sorry.
Did I get number 9?
I think you're doing odds.
So 1931, Bela Lugosi, the original Dracula, which is a movie, by the way, the original. Now I'm saying Dracula as in Dracula, not vampire.
This is literally Dracula.
So yeah. This is the like the old who was it? Was it MGM?
Bela Lugosi. Oh, who's the yeah, they had all the monster movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Warner Brothers? Or was it MGM?
Let me double check. This was Universal.
Universal. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, it was Universal. You're right, because they tried to reboot him with The Mummy and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
These movies still hold up for me. And what's crazy to me is they're that good without really showing much. Real violence.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, and it's still kind of creepy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, I mean, you got to be in the right kind of mood to watch a movie that takes place this long ago. But this is a cool character. And Bela Lugosi is just such a fucking megastar, like, for these type of movies. Yeah. Like, what a character, and like every, like the way he talks, it's just kind of scary. The way, like the way it's shot, and again, it's impressive. Like this movie came out 100 years ago. Like it's just,
and you gotta think,
cool
before special effects, before
yep.
like anything, like R-rated movies, like any of that shit. Like
yeah.
this was just how you could scare the shit out of people without showing much.
Yeah, oh yeah, hell no.
Which we will talk about later.
Yes, true. There's more than that, but. No, this is definitely in the spooky season worth a rewatch every once and then. All right, coming in at number 8 on our list would be 1998's Blade. He's a goddamn half daywalker, half vampire, but there are plenty of vampires in the movie. This was also really the first of the Marvel movies, which is crazy to think about. But
it started the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It kind of did. Well,
technically,
not the MCU, but it started.
No, but it wasn't there a deleted scene in which Morbius showed up?
Oh, I think you're right. I think they were trying to kickstart something, but it never really got going. But my Christ, like how cool was this movie? And even diehard comic book fans weren't necessarily all that familiar with Blade, but it was just Wesley Snipes was the perfect guy for this role. Like his side, like Whistler is such a cool character. But yeah, I mean, it is a
Deacon Frost. Stephen Dorff was awesome.
Fucking Stephen Dorff, who I think shit on Marvel movies like later on, but it's like, dude, you were in goddamn Blade and you were,
you think he was like high and like forgot?
It's possible. It was a long time ago.
And again, talk about killer opening scenes.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Like there's that rave and then the blood starts coming through the sprinklers and everything. And that knife throw around that circular shower room.
Yeah.
I remember like the opening scene of this movie was so badass.
And it, oh yeah. Also like what a story or like what a origin story for Blade, you know, like for his mom who is pregnant gets attacked by a vampire. So sort of,
and then he's born.
Yeah. So then answering the question like how that would go, it's like, well, he's kind of both. So like he doesn't have all of their weaknesses, but then he like now his life is fucking killing vampires.
And he has that, like, he still has the thirst a little bit, so they got to, like, give him medicine. Yeah, or if he doesn't take it, he could go berserk. Yeah. And again, just, I get an unknown Marvel property. I can't wait to see what Mahershala Ali does with this.
I know. If it ever gets made, for Christ's sake.
But this is one of those ones, if you're going to bring Deadpool into the fold and you can do R-rated, or Logan, you're going to do R-rated. I really think Blade has to be an R-rated. Marvel.
Yeah, it's hard not to. I mean, he's a half vampire, for Christ's sake. And so
he kills and eats people.
There needs to be a tremendous amount of blood, right? Like sometimes there are movies that do too much blood, but if it's a goddamn Dracula story, like you need blood. Not to be confused with Blade Trinity, which literally does include Dracula, actual Dracula.
Yes, actual Dracula is
it. And I'll tell you, I don't mind Blade Trinity as much as other people. I know it gets shit on. I actually thought it was really enjoyable. Ryan Reynolds, I thought, was charming. A Jessica Biel's character, I like.
Peak Jessica Biel.
Peak Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Triple H and Parker Posey are in it.
Yep.
It's kind of fun. Now, I know Wesley Snipes didn't like it, and I guess he might have been a little bit of a handful on set because they definitely want to start it askew a little bit more towards comedy compared to the first two.
But bringing in Ryan Reynolds, who was a bit of a, like, as a handsome devil as he was a bit of a goof.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was coming off of, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place at that point.
Or, so, like, Van Wilder. Like, he was coming off that. Yeah. You know, so he's a bit of a goof.
But I thought it was kind of funny. Like, the Dracula thing, I don't know, maybe it worked for some people, didn't work for others. But I don't hate Blade Trinity. In fact, the Blade trilogy is sneaky one of the best comic book trilogies. Like, it's up there for me. I like all three.
Yeah, right on.
All right.
So the one one that started it all, this is coming in at number 7, which blows my mind, is 1922's Nosferatu.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes. Now this movie, the main antagonist in this movie, I believe, is Count Orlok.
Yes, sir.
Because they didn't have the rights to the name Dracula.
Right. It's based off of Dracula.
Correct. It's Bram based Stoker's. Off of Dracula, but they couldn't call him that.
That's funny.
So it's Count Orlok. Now, do you see Shadow of the Vampire too, which is another one honorable mention. I don't think it's honorable mention, but it is the one with it's John Malkovich.
Oh,
and,
yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
I forget. What's his nuts? You know, what's his nuts?
I can't. Why am I drawing a blank right now?
Grab his dick and twist it.
I'm so embarrassed.
You son of a bitch.
Playing stuff. Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, of course.
Plays Max Schreck, who played Count Orlok. And there was a question of whether or not he was actually the whole time. It's like a whole method.
You're terrified of him. And isn't Max Schreck the name of Christopher Walken's character in Batman Returns?
I think it is.
Yeah. I don't think they give him, like, he's not like a name from the comics. They're like, hey, you're going to be
just a random guy.
Max Schreck.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Tim Burton was probably a fan of this movie. I got to believe.
I would imagine. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I probably
talk about a
movie
that scares the shit out of you without even anyone speaking.
No, there's no words like this. Max Schreck is terrifying to look at, and nobody can act better with their eyes than this guy can. And every time they do one of these like countdown shows, it's always on there and they always show like the same 3 or 4 clips, and they're all terrifying. It's like him on the boat, it's him like getting out of the casket and looking around,
like walking
his,
like,
fucking weird hands,
or
like the one where like he's the shadow where he's going up the stairs.
That's the one where he's like walking, doing like this, the creep walk, like the
they did the creep. I don't like that scares me. Good though.
Do you know, so with someone, I was watching something today. Can we take a break? We're halfway through now. We'll take a little bit of a break here.
Take a little bit. We're going to take a little intermission here on the Draculas.
The song Monster Mash, like the Tenacious D song Tribute, is about the song Monster Mash. We've actually never heard the song Monster Mash.
We know that they did the mash.
They did it. And it was like one night they were like at this party and they heard this song. It was a Graveyard Smash.
Yeah, no doubt.
But you, Richard, dear listener, have never heard that song.
I would love to hear it one day.
I would love to hear what the Graveyard Smash was. I think it had something to do with the bones being money and
worms are the dollars.
Yeah.
Any of these little fuckers ever pop out of the fucking wall and say, fuck, there's a horse cock in my room or a donkey dick?
I think they did. So I think that's part of the song.
The bones are their money. So are the worms. They pull your hair up, but not out. You turn into a man and have another chance at life. But if they pull it out, they turn to bones.
I'm going to go on record and say that that song is the actual Monster Mash.
I think you're onto something here.
Because that could be the Graveyard Smash we've been looking for.
Well, the guy asked for something spooky.
He did. He
clearly did. What was it? Boris Pickett and the Crypt Keeper 5 or whatever?
Something like that. Great name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. let's see. Coming in at number 6 on our list is another movie from 1987. So they clearly got that one earmarked as the best year in Dracula's. That would be Near Dark.
Oh.
Directed by Catherine Bigelow. And she's had a ton of awesome movies. This is one of her best ones. I love this movie.
Put it right up there with Point Break or The Hurt Locker.
I know she's
Catherine Bigelow.
All right, quick aside. Catherine Bigelow movies. Here we go. The Loveless, Near Dark, Blue Steel, Point Break, Strange Days, The Weight of Water, K-19 Widowmaker, The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark 30, and Detroit.
These movies are awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty great. This is in the top.
How about that?
This is in the top 3.
James Cameron's ex-wife.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
They were married from 89 to 91. It was a brief marriage, but nonetheless.
I don't know how you could be married to that guy for very long.
No.
He seems like he stinks to me.
Seems like he kind of does stink. Yeah, but this is good. You got Bill Paxton in this.
Oh, and he's so good at
this. He's really good. Yeah, he's good.
And so the story is, right, there's this truck driver, there's this cowboy who's like at a bar and he meets this hot chick and she turns out to be a vampire and she bites him.
Oh, yeah.
Like immediately.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, all right, we're together, but now we're like vampires.
She bites him and like takes off. So he has to like figure out what the fuck to do next, kind of thing.
Yeah. And she's part of this Dracula gang.
Yeah. And like the whole thing is like, all right, well, now like what you need to do, like you need to fucking start eating people. And he's like, I don't want to fucking eat people. He's like, this is kind of new to me.
we won't spoil it, but it is. It's
yeah, you know what? Even though it came out a long time ago, I don't want to spoil it either because I feel like this is one, and we've mentioned it a few times because it did nothing at the box office. It's kind of like a cult classic now, but when you're looking for movies in October, we may have even mentioned this in our like 10 best or 50 best that you've never seen a couple like years ago.
And I think I said too, I've read articles where people call this the best horror movie you've never seen.
I could definitely see that. I remember because I was late to it too. I saw it however many years ago and it was just like blown away about how good it is. But it makes sense.
I'd be interested to know, did this come out before or after the Lost Boys?
Ooh, let's see. Near Dark came out October 2nd. Of 87, just in time for spooky season.
Yep.
The Lost Boys came out July 31st. So Lost Boys beat them to it. Yeah.
Yep. Mm. But I think this is a better success. Movie.
I agree. And it's higher on
our list.
It's
a better Dracula movie.
And it's higher on our list. How do you like that?
I'm excited to bring to you number 5. Now, this movie was very high on our horror comedy list as well.
Yeah.
And it deserves its spot right here among the Dracula movies. The namesake of my name this week, Vladislav the Poker. And that is 2014's the most recent movie on our list, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows. Directed by Taika Waititi, written by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. This movie's, we talked about this a bunch last week, but
yeah,
it
we
is
did.
Probably the funniest Dracula movie I've seen.
Yeah.
You know what I love? And this movie has this. Blade has this. 30 Days of Night has this a little bit. Interview with the Vampire has it. This idea of like a vampire council.
Mm.
That they're like
rules.
There's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
to vampirism. So like in What We Do in the Shadows, there's like a vampiric council and they throw like the ball, yeah. the unholy masquerade or whatever yeah. the hell they call it. And it's just like they throw like a party.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that like the longer vampires are around, the more powerful they are.
Yeah.
And they have like influence over other vampires. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this kind of pokes fun at it. So with the beast. And the showdown between Vladislav the Poker and the Beast.
It is. It's just like yeah. perfect. Because we talked last week about like the mockumentary style is already a good one. Like you're kind of like, there's so many good ones like that. But then to take vampires and have like all different kinds of vampires. And like, so you get like, what was it, like four or five different kind of like main guys that all have like a different kind of classic vampire thing. It's great.
Right. And Jason says like John Wick. Yeah. Like John Wick, but Dracula's. Yeah,
makes sense.
Speaking of John Wick.
Oh, did you ever see The Continental, by the way? The Peacock series? No, I didn't watch that either.
It got middling reviews, but I'm still going to watch it.
It got bad reviews. I think it's only like three really long episodes.
It's a miniseries. Yeah.
All right. Like Dracula. Remember that miniseries on...
Well, that started off so hot. Remember that first episode was so good?
And then it wasn't. The second
was like, eh. And the third one was awful.
Third one... sucked out loud. That might still be on Netflix, yeah. right? Was that a BBC show?
It was a BBC show. Yeah. The first episode was so good.
Yep. Coming in at number four. And this actually is sort of how this episode came to be. Davey and I were texting about what our topic should be. And we kind of both wanted to talk about this movie. And then it ended up being number four on our list. And that would be From Dusk Till Dawn. You mentioned The Lost Boys as a movie that has everything. No.
This movie
has everything. It has like a crime spree of robbers. It has a Western feel. It has a family on a vacation. It has vampires. It has like a giant pit into nowhere.
Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin.
Was delivering one of the best lines of any movie ever. When he says, if you can find, you know what, for cheaper. You have a penis revolver
by Tom Savini, which is so good to see that guy who's like the greatest makeup and effects guy
yes
in the business, and then they get him like acting and this is awesome.
Written so his name is Sex Machine, right?
Yep.
And he has a penis gun and a whip. Like unbelievable.
Yeah I would also maintain that the way George Clooney is like shot, it makes him one of the coolest characters ever in movies. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, so this movie was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who we love. It was written mm-hmm. by Quentin Tarantino. I think I love for sure. You don't love all of his stuff, but we love him.
I respect all of his stuff. And yeah. again, we were getting to that in the chat. Selma Hayek.
Yep.
You want to talk to me about Jessica Alba in Sin City? Please, sir, please show yourself to Selma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Holy, there was an awakening there for a lot of people.
Yeah, and you know, really? And I don't, and you know how scared I am of snakes. And even still, I could.
She's sitting there dancing with the snakes.
I got to sneak a peek. I got to still sneak a peek. Usually I'm like terrified of the snakes, but like. And then
when she goes gross into the vampire, I'm like, I'm still kind of into it.
Kind of don't hate it. Fucking leave it to Tarantino to write into the script that Selma Hayek shoves her foot in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Fucking... I mean, before. And again, Juliette Lewis is in this movie, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no one. And who is that? Who plays that? Is Harvey Keitel plays their dad, right?
Yeah, Harvey Keitel and Juliette Lewis. And then obviously the Gecko brothers, which I think there was going to be a movie just on the Gecko brothers that never got made with Clooney and Tarantino. And like Tarantino's character, Richie, is like the real fucking whack job.
Yes.
And then Seth Gecko is the one that kind of keeps them in line a little bit more. But speaking of Rodriguez and speaking of Sin City, the way they shoot Clooney is very similar to how they shoot Clive Owen in Sin City, and like he's mm-hmm. just like the coolest dude in the world, like the biggest badass in the world. And that's what
I remember. You could see. I remember thinking, like, dude, this is the most badass thing. And I remember like thinking to myself for a hot minute that I wanted this tattoo. So you see George Clooney with this tattoo, and when you see it, there's like a little bit coming up from his neck.
I wanted that,
And then he takes his jacket off. His and whole it's arm. All, it's the whole sleeve. And you're like, that's fucking badass.
You can see a little bit on his neck and you can see a little bit on his hand. Mm-hmm. And then, then he takes his shirt off. And you're like, fuck. I wanted that so bad when I first saw
it. I'm glad we didn't do it, but.
I wanted that. So, I'm better off not having that now for sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the name of the bar was that they went to?
No, I just remember Cheech Marin doing the thing outside the bar, which
and they're
was
like,
so good.
Fuck out of here. It was called the Titty Twister. obviously.
And it was in Tijuana, right?
I believe so. Definitely Mexico. So I think it probably was in Tijuana. Yeah. This fucking movie was great.
And again,
Danny Trejo.
Super gory.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Trejo. Of course, Danny Trejo.
Of course, Danny Trejo.
But man. Like, as soon as the action starts in this, because you don't really know where this is going.
No, it's a classic case of two movies, right? Like, so we're talking like Barbarian is like more than one thing. Like, From Dusk Till Dawn is definitely more than one thing. Because, like, you definitely could have had a grounded story just about the Gecko brothers and, like, the crime spree that they're on combined with, like, being with this family and kind of holding them hostage. That alone is a movie and probably a pretty good one. And then you go to the fucking bar, and then it turns into a full-on vampire movie.
And what's crazy is that, you know, one of the Gecko brothers doesn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. And you are kind of sad, even though you shouldn't be.
No, he's probably a piece of shit guy.
Yeah, oh, totally piece of shit.
Total piece of shit. So this is another one that's had, like, sequels and prequels. I think I've seen
nowhere near. No, I think I saw the second one, but
I think I might have
seen it. Was like straight to DVD. It wasn't like a real thing.
And I think Danny Trejo is the only character to be in all the movies. Like, he's the only one that like ties all the movies together. And then they did a TV show, which I did not see.
Do you know what's cool? I want to say, you know what's cool about George Clooney?
Everything.
A lot. But you know, he doesn't wear makeup in movies.
Fucking, why should he? Guy looks like a man.
And he's like, if you don't want to put me on screen anymore, don't. I'm just not wearing makeup. Like, this is what my face looks like. If you watch any George Clooney movie now, he's not wearing makeup.
That's like me when I do TV at NBC Boston. And they used to be like, hey, do you want any makeup? I was like, no, this is what I look like.
Who am I trying to impress?
Right, this is it.
You know?
All right, number three
is Bram Stoker's Dracula. Directed by Francis Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this movie is probably the truest telling of Dracula. By the way, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this for a minute. The year that this man had, like the calendar year.
Yeah.
Where he played Dracula.
Yep.
He played, what's his name, from True Romance.
Oh, Drexel.
Drexel.
Yeah.
And then I believe what was the other movie?
Wasn't Sid and Nancy, was it? Oh no, it was the fucking Leon the Professional. We're all the same year, yeah.
They're all the same year. Like, what a run for that guy.
So I personally, this is my opinion, I think he is the greatest actor of our generation. Of the last like
he could play 34 years. Could play me.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know. Like, he would sit here right now and you would not know that it wasn't me.
He was also
Gary Oldman
in 91, he was Lee Harvey Oswald in JFK. And then in 92, he was Dracula. 93, it was True Romance and a movie called Romeo's Bleeding. 94 was Leon the Professional. 95, he was in The Scarlet Letter and Murder in the First. He was in The Fifth Element. He was in Air Force One.
Oh, remember The Fifth Element? He was so good in The Fifth Element, too. Just so weird.
Oh, he's insane. And then And then, like, out of nowhere, he's just, like, he's a really good James Gordon in the Nolan trilogy. You're like, more of a straight-laced character, not, like, a crazy character by any stretch, but he hits that out of the park. He's good in the Harry Potter movies as that Sirius Black.
Sirius Black. Yeah, so for me, if you can get past the two people who hold this movie back, I think are, I hate to say it, but Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder. Yeah. Winona Ryder's better. Keanu Reeves is doing this accent that he never should have done. Was it Jonathan Harkness?
Harker. Yeah.
Harker.
Yeah.
I keep saying Harkness like a Harkness table, but I know it's Jonathan Harker. And Tom Waits as Renfield.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's eating the bugs and he's got like the weird things in his hand. Like, this movie is so good and fucking creepy.
And then you have Anthony Hopkins as Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah. And there's like those weird Dracula sex scenes in that room that's like kind of like
all of the brides of Dracula.
Oh, yeah. Slithering all through the bed and everything.
Oh, that was intense.
Like, I remember thinking in 92, I was like 11. And I'm like, this, you're like looking down. You're like, I'm confused.
I don't know.
This is scary, but also this. And I'm confused.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I have a lot of questions.
Boobies. Right. But it's scary.
Scary. I'm nervous. But yeah, something's gonna.
But that makes it better. I don't know happening right now.
I don't have to tell you. Yeah, that's a, that's
I don't know what I would have done if I were not Jonathan Harker's situation. I don't know what I would have done.
Panicked. Would have panicked. Yep. Would have panicked. All right, coming in at number two on our list is Blade 2. That's right.
And what if I told you that you could have everything good about Blade?
Right.
But directed by Guillermo del Toro.
100% is what you got. And you ended up getting even more blood. definitely more blood in this movie. It's insane. Like, go ahead.
The new vampires.
Yeah.
The jaw opens.
Uh-huh.
Like so he wrote a book with The Strain, which the vampires do. That instead of having teeth, they have like this kind of like alien xenomorph like suction thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like in their tongue, which is so fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ron Perlman in this as a guy that's in like this
looking for free beer
blood pack. Yeah, he's out there just trying to get a free one here and there. You got a little Norman Reedus, like a younger Norman Reedus in this too.
Yep.
But yeah, they just take, like you said, everything that was good about the first one, they kind of turn it up a notch even a little bit more. And yeah, written by David S. Goyer, too, who he's definitely had some good movies that he wrote back in the day.
Now, what were you telling me? Like, what was Guillermo del Toro going to do? You were telling me the other, like...
Jabba the Hutt series.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been the same.
Like, what?
That would have been fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, like, this guy is just, like... I liked that. Was it the Cabinet of Curiosities or something like that he did?
I liked that, too. Well, I liked most...
I liked it.
Not all of them, but I liked a lot of them. That was fun.
I mean, he just has such a creative mind for these kind of things. Uh-huh. And again, you took everything that was good about Blade and you made it better.
Oof.
And I think part of the reason that Blade Trinity isn't on this list is because Blade 2 was so good.
Yeah, that's true. It definitely was, like... hard to follow that one up, especially when Del Toro leaves and they kind of go in a different direction. But you know what? This might have been the one that I think Morbius might have, they like wanted Morbius to be in. I think you're right about the first one having like that deleted, like
it was like a deleted scene.
But then like the thought going into this one was like, hey, can we have Morbius in it? And I think Marvel was like, nah, we don't want to do that. Like,
We don't and you're like, why not? Like, who would you have picked to play him
back then?
Call me crazy, but like, Keanu Reeves. He might be a vampire. You could have had Jared Leto still do it.
Good point. Yeah, Leto back then, like a younger Leto would have been
like actually, a younger, like a Requiem Leto.
Yeah, that actually would have been pretty good.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
All
right, number one.
All right. Now, again, we've talked about this. We can recap it all we want, but so the list so far is so good.
Yeah.
And to me, and I've said this before, and I know you're going to hear me say this again. The greatest vampire movie ever made is 2008's Let the Right One In. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is everything a vampire movie should be. It takes place in Sweden.
Yep.
Again, where it's night a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is, was it Ellie is the vampire in this movie, is a kid. Well, looks like a kid.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I like.
She actually tells. Yeah.
I like when they do that. I was talking actually when we were talking about American Vampire, the comic book the other night, and I'll get into that in a second. But I like when they take a vampire and they can put him in all these different times and they look the same. Right. So they can be in 1800s. Then all of a sudden they're in like the 1920s. Then they're in World War II time and you're like following all the way through. Same
you
thing
just
can
drop
be said
in there. Yeah.
Plop them in there, and they're the same. Same thing can be said about when you have a what looks like a 12 or 13 year old, and you're like, oh, that's a kid. And you're like, no, that She's like 100 years old. Like that yeah. kid's been stuck in that same spot, that same size for a very long time. And this is the best version of that. There's no doubt.
And so Kirsten Dunst was close.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That. And I love that scene where, and not to go back, but she freaks out at them. She's like, which one of you did it? Like
yeah.
she can't,
yeah.
she keeps trying to cut her hair. She keeps like, she can't change.
Yep.
And this movie, so I love the idea that Ellie has had this familiar with her for years, mm-hmm. like years and years and years, and that this guy's getting older and he's kind of like outlived his purpose.
Right.
And what happens to him. And then she winds up glomming onto this other kid
uh-huh.
in this movie and finds a new one.
Kind of grooming him, if you will.
What's that?
Kind of grooming.
Yeah,
him.
And like it's, there's like yeah. this like grooming him to like take care of her, mm-hmm. and, you know, more or less. And it's this kid's getting bullied at school, and she kind of helps him. And again, what's brilliant about this movie is there's like flashes of when you see Ellie kind of go off the rails a little bit, but it's very subdued. It's very hinted at. You don't really see a ton of violence.
Yep.
But what's scarier than a Dracula biting people is like, you can steal their life another way. Mm-hmm. And like at the end of this movie where she takes the kid with, they're on the train and he's got his hand like on the box.
Yeah.
And then, so like she took his life in another way. She's like, now his life is like spent living with her. And that's right. like, to me, like it's just such a fucking great movie. And they did do a shot for shot remake of this, or tried to. It was the same director.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. You know,
I thought it was the same director.
You know who it was? It was Matt Reeves did it.
Oh.
Matt Reeves did it. I actually liked it. I had it on my list. I think I had it at 13. I had this one. We both had this one number one. I had that one at 13.
But see, here's the thing that I didn't like that they changed the title of the movie.
Let Me In instead of let the Right In. One In.
Like, see, that's like a, I get it that it's like Let Me In, like both physically and like spiritually, emotionally, I don't know, but like, but who is it? The Cody Smith McPhee kid, who's like a creepy little
Cody Smith McPhee, who you've seen in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Road. He was in whatever else. But and then it's Chloe Grace Moretz plays the girl.
Speaking of great child actors,
she crushes it. She's so good in it. And then you get Richard Jenkins, who was in everything. Mm-hmm. He's like the dad in Step Brothers.
Yes,
but he's really good. And Andy's.
He plays what's his name? He plays her
Cabin in the Woods. He plays the old familiar.
Yeah,
but So the other couple other honorable mentions we had were besides Let Me In, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mm-hmm. Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust, and
which I think made you. I like sat you down and was like, you need
I liked
to watch
it.
This.
No, I liked it.
You're like, I don't like anime. Like you're gonna watch this one, and you're gonna like it.
And then Only Lovers Left Alive, which I've never seen.
Did you see that one?
No, I haven't seen that.
So that's. It's Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton.
Oh.
And they're like, they're vampires, but they're also, they've been together and apart. And they like, so they're like a couple.
I like it. That sounds good.
And they eventually like get back together. And it's like how you kind of navigate that relationship. It's kind of like a different.
Yeah. Movie. That's cool. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. All right. So there's our list. Let us know what you guys think. From 13 to 1, we go The Lost Boys, Interview with the Vampire, 30 Days of Night, Salem's Lot, Dracula from 1931, Blade, Nosferatu, Near Dark, What We Do in the Shadows, From Dusk Till Dawn, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Blade 2, and Let the Right One In.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Ry, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may choose at this time to defend a goal?
Before we do this, I just had one of those random old school like MTV memories. Remember the show Greg the Bunny?
Yes, I do.
When they had Count the Blair?
Yeah.
Every time he ended every sentence he said with blah. Oh, yeah. He's like, we're going to go to the movies, blah.
Yeah. Jason in the chat. He's on it.
Is that? Did he say that?
You suck your blah.
No, but he was like, oh, what are we going to do tonight, blah?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Count
blah.
Like, anyway,
I gotcha.
I'm going to take the ball here.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you two things I watched this week that I really liked.
Okay.
One more than the other. First off, Terrifier 2 is now on Prime. So I did watch that.
How was it?
It was something. It was like, it's kind of one of those.
Yeah.
It's slow to get started.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like there's this whole thing. There's this whole, they try to get like a story out of it. And you're like, come on, man. Like, let's get to the thing. And then once it gets going, it's woo.
yeah, of course.
And then I want to say this. I apologize to Mark and Drew of the Mark and Drew podcast. I was wrong when I said during the movie draft, when someone drafted this movie, I said, do we really need this? Is this really what we need in the world right now? And they called me a dick or something like that. And I, you know what? They were right. You know what I watched this week that was fucking awesome?
What'd you watch this week?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
So good.
What's your score?
5.5.
Ooh, I think I went 5.
It's my favorite Ninja Turtle movie.
Really? It was really good. How good was Ice Cube?
So good.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah, cool. No, I saw that too. I liked it a lot. I have 2 pick of the pods as well. One, a movie on Hulu called Cobweb.
Oh.
Pretty good horror movie. Like 90 minutes or so in and out. And the reason why I watched it was it's Antony Starr, who plays Homelander, and Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh.
And they are a couple, and they have a kid. And there's some weird things going on with the kid. The kid's hearing something in the in the walls of the house.
Is it a goddamn Dracula?
It's like fucking goddamn Dracula.
Mom, there's a goddamn Dracula in the walls.
I can hear it under the bed. No, it was interesting. I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was pretty good. So it's called Cobweb. Horrible title on Hulu right now. And secondly, I was on the TLDR podcast yesterday. We also have it available on our YouTube as well. We did an updated version of the top 10 horror comics. We did it as a group 2 years ago. A lot of overlap, although there's a new number one that wasn't even on the list last time.
Oh,
so I want to give that a listen.
Tell me off air which one it is.
I will.
I hope I've read it.
So TLDR podcast, hit those guys up or watch it on our YouTube. Next week, we will wrap up Dorktober, TBD on what the topic will be. But hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Dork Podcast. And Ryan, promise me a million times over, you will never do another rule.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to promise you that.